Hello there. Welcome to this episode of Force Ghost Conversations. This is your host, Anthony King, and this week, along with special guest Mrs. Force Ghost Conversations, Elise King, we're going to take a deep dive look into the Season 2 episode of The Bad Batch titled Pabu. Before we get started, I'm inviting you to join the conversation with us. We can be found on Twitter and Hive at Force Ghost Pod. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok just by searching Force Ghost Conversations. Also, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast on your listening site of choice. Plus, Force Ghost Conversations is now live on Patreon. If you're a fan of the podcast and would like to consider pledging your support, there'll be a link in the episode description for you to check out the various tiers offered. Finally, please be sure to check out our T Public store to buy some Force Ghost Conversations merchandise. And without further ado, it's time to gather around the campfire for some Force Ghost Conversations. Hey there, folks. Welcome back to another installment of Force Ghost Conversations. I'm so thrilled to bring you this next episode with, of course, Mrs. Force Ghost Conversations to talk about the latest episode of The Bad Batch, Pabu. Now, of course, this is a mid-week podcast release, so of course, if you've been following the show, you know that we don't talk about the latest news in the Star Wars galaxy or the Lucasfilm galaxy in our mid-week releases. Those, of course, will be covered in our Sunday release, which is, of course, going to be about the latest episode of The Mandalorian. So be sure to check out that episode and to catch up with all the news when that episode releases later this week. Of course, this is your spoiler warning for our upcoming, our segment on the other side of this short break here. So if you haven't seen the episode Pabu by The Bad Batch Season 2, what are you doing? Go pause this episode now and go check out that episode on Disney Plus and then come right back to this moment in time. Everything afterwards of this segment has been is a spoiler warning. So you have been warned because there is a lot of spoiler talk in our conversation. So without further ado, on the other side of this very short break here, we'll be back with our conversation on Season 2 of The Bad Batch, the episode Pabu. Okay, everybody, welcome back to another installment of the podcast, Force Ghost Conversations. And of course, it is Bad Batch time. And you know the drill by this point. Who else are we going to bring on to talk about this episode of the Bad Batch than other than our very special guest, Mrs. Force Ghost Conversations, Elise King? Welcome back to the show.
Yes, welcome back. Me.
How are you?
I'm running out of intros.
You're running out of things to say.
I don't know.
And you still got a few more to go in this run of Bad Batch episodes.
Like, yeah, whatever. It's me.
How are you feeling about the Bad Batch thus far? Are you enjoying it? You thrilled that we've gotten so many great episodes out of the season thus far? Are you dreading the fact that in 2 weeks we won't have any more?
Yes.
And then who knows when the next season?
You just answered your own question.
I know, because my feelings are the same. It's been a lot of fun talking Bad Batch with you each and every week, and I don't want that to end. So
fingers crossed it comes back. I don't know with what Disney's doing. Cut. We don't know.
Yeah, you never know. So fingers crossed. You know, keep the fervor going online. You know, spread the word if you like Bad Batch. Keep tweeting about it and all that. And always, of course, be sure to watch the show on Disney Plus, because those numbers really will affect if something is done or not. They'll see the numbers and if it's worth backing, and you know, that's really what it comes down to. So just keep doing the good work, folks. Just do your best and watch and support in the best we can. But Elise, I want to talk about Pabu, this new episode that came out this past week, and I don't know, I thought it was a good episode watching it again. I don't think it was probably like my favorite one. I think it was definitely a springboard perhaps to the end of, or a potential end perhaps for this. And that's really where it got my mind thinking. I wanted to start with this first question here, which is really speculative. So let's run wild with this crazy thought. And it's not really a crazy thought, so let's just run with it. What really is the end arc of the Bad Batch? What are we leading towards?
First, I just want to say, like, I think you just crushed this episode and threw it to the side. Like, it was nothing.
Did I? Well, yeah. Push back on that, please.
You're like, yeah, it was fine.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I think it was just, it didn't have a, you know, a big, it didn't connect with me the way it probably did for you. But that's great. Go for you.
I think you're short-sighted in this.
Oh, please, go on it.
Because in classic storytelling, in like a classic hero's journey, which the Bad Batch are heroes, you have to see what they wanted their life to be. Frodo constantly dreams of the Shire. Harry Potter constantly dreams of not being Harry Potter and just living with his parents. You have to see like what they see as the grass is greener, or you have to see what the heroes like think the ultimate peace is.
Mm.
To really understand that, you know, how do I put this? To like understand the loss that they're going to feel eventually when that future is ripped away.
Mm-hmm.
And like, hopefully at the end of the hero's journey, they do reach a set of peace, but it's not the one that they thought that they were going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for us, if we didn't have this episode with the Bad Batch, they've always been soldiers. They've always been bouncing from place to place. They've been fine on the run. So if we moved from the last episode of like learning they were going to be hunted, or like one of the previous ones recently, to then just them being hunted, yeah, it would like be dramatic, but it probably like wouldn't hit home as hard.
Mm-hmm.
But because of this episode, we see one, they are tired. They're tired of doing the same old thing. Two, they've like mm-hmm. actually cut ties and have few allies.
Mm-hmm.
And three, like, it's not just that they're tired. It's like Omega needs something different to like grow up in a way that's healthy and secure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it shows like huge character growth that they don't want to just like be the soldiers doing the thing on the run all the time. Like, they're looking for a place to call home. And I think we all know that home's going to be like crushed or like grabbed away from them. So for me, like, this raised the stakes in the personal lives of the Bad Batch. And I think it's going to make their sacrifice, or like what they have to do or what they lose to keep safe, even more poignant.
Okay. Yeah. Good points. I go back to my original question here, though. Is
Are you serious? You're not going to say anything other than good points?
I have nothing to add.
Audience, that was not the reaction I was hoping for.
I go back to my original question then. What is the end arc of the Bad Batch? Is it really just them finding peace at the end? What is peace for the Bad Batch? I think
you're asking two different questions. I think it's what's the ending for the Bad Batch, and then what's the overall point of the Bad Batch?
My question is, what is the overall ending? That's what I mean when I say arc.
The happy ending or the point?
Not the point, the happy ending. What is the ending for the Bad Batch? What are we hoping that they get at the end of all this?
I mean, you would hope that they can, like, live in peace and, like, relative. I think for me, it's like you just want them to live together for a long time. They're a family mm-hmm. now. You mm-hmm. want the family to stay together. I don't know if that means fighting together for the rebellion. I don't know if that means like finding a peaceful planet like Pavu, but I think for me, I would hope it is them being together.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's a great way to put it here, because I guess this episode for me opened up my eyes to that possibility of that really being the end result of all this, is them finding their quiet. Mm-hmm. After a literally lifetime of preparing for war and knowing nothing but war, them literally being on a island resort planet. Of course, Pabu's not a resort, but like the idea of them being on a paradise and just relaxing,
mm-hmm.
living out the rest of their days could potentially be it. And they've earned it, frankly, if you ask me, right? Well, they have nothing left to give, frankly. I know
it's the happiest of endings you could ask for a clone.
Yeah.
We've seen how bad it can get for clones
mm-hmm.
begging on the streets. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't know about you, but for me, like, there's always that internal want of them to like keep the fight going, join the fight against the Empire, become a part of the rebellion, do what Rex and Echo are doing. And I guess this episode really got me thinking, like, maybe they just kind of deserve just some peace and happiness here. Why do I want them to join this greater fight and keep fighting and just do nothing but fight the rest of their lives? But maybe that says something about me, that I've just wanted this to continue their stories and adventures and just have them fight against evil. But I guess get back to that point there that I said, where it's like, they don't owe us, they don't owe anything. They've done their fight, right? Maybe it's someone else's fight at this point to keep up the mantle, but pass that on to another generation. They've served their purpose in a way.
I mean, I think it's different if it's like they're backed into the corner and then have to fight with the rebellion versus they wholeheartedly believe in what the rebellion's doing and they choose to stay with it. I mean, I think if they're like wholeheartedly embrace what the rebellion's doing and like feel a passion for it and want to help in any way they can, which to me like is very Omega, then I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So we'll just have to put a pin on that one, because I think that's, that, for the most part, that's what this episode opened to my eyes, I think, is the concept of where are we going with this? What is their happy ending? What does that look like for them? I guess that's just the theory that this episode really brought up for me here. But something that you and I noticed while watching through this episode, are Tech and Fee totally crushing?
100%.
100%, right? There.
Yeah, Wrecker said like a comment at the beginning that was like, you got competition.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I love it. I didn't think they'd ever like really lean into something like that. And they had enough longing looks between the two of them and like awful hand comments and flirtatious glances that romance is real in the Bad Batch universe, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, I wasn't opposed to it, but I never actually thought that we'd maybe see that in the Bad Batch. And I'm glad that they've laid a couple seeds here and there over the course of this season, and we're starting to see that plant grow a little bit here, akin to a Willow season one reference there, you know, with the when she was planting that tree. Yeah, we've seen a little sprouts there on this. We'll have to keep watching that.
I think it shows like their growth too. I think Tech would have been really blinded and like short-sighted season one, but he's experienced some emotional growth through dealing with Omega and like different life experiences. And look at him. Someone's calling brown eyes.
Absolutely. I would kudos to the creative crew too, to feel confident to put this story together, because you know they didn't have to do it, but they felt confident in tackling this.
It's kind of silly that we wouldn't expect it, considering that there have been some very like poignant romances throughout Star Wars history across storytelling. It's actually like a very Star Wars thing to do, to have romance.
Yeah. It's all in the adventure, right? With passion comes equally romantic passion.
Yeah. So I don't know why we thought it wouldn't happen with the Bad Batch. Yeah. I guess we kind of closed it off ourselves.
I guess we're not used to seeing clones having those types of emotions either. We're just used to seeing them fight, and except from that one clone that goes off on his own that we saw in season one, has a whole family. I guess we just never see that side of clones. So maybe our brains are shut off to thinking about that possibility for them.
Yeah, we didn't see them.
But
as
now
human.
They have time. They can explore other human emotions.
Yeah,
which they clearly have in this season, and the only one that they haven't yet is romance.
Now it's there.
We're scratching that itch a little bit.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier that it appears that the Bad Batch have finally cut ties with Cid. Will that work out for them?
I was really surprised that it wasn't. I thought it was like, I didn't know, it was like weeks of not talking to her.
Yeah, they ghosted.
They ghosted Cid. I was really thinking like, wow, like Cid's connections or something, it's going to like, I don't know. So obviously their moments with Cid aren't done. I have a feeling that they're going to have to reunite to fight a bigger bad guy than whatever their beef between each other is. But I was like, good for you guys, because you're right. Like, Cid treats you like crap.
Yeah. So that excursion where they were getting the explosive material, was that the final straw, you think?
Yeah. They were left there.
And
no
she's
food.
Like, I'm not coming to get you for a few days.
Yeah. Treating them like garbage.
Now, do you think this will bite back on them in any way? Like, I think you said like they're gonna have to eventually at some point reconnect and do that, but will that create some friction in that process of rejoining up again?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's natural. Cid did not seem happy in her message to him.
She was not happy about that. by any stretch.
I think they'll probably fight, and like Sid will probably, like, they might have to fight a two-front war for a minute, and then they'll realize like their interests are aligned, or heaven forbid, like if Omega gets kidnapped, I think they'd use every resource at their disposal. And I think Sid would forego frustrations if like the kid's in trouble.
Exactly. We'll just have to see how that one plays out. Because again, I agree with you that I don't think Sid's done with our story here. They've invested too much in that relationship. And as we've seen over the course of the season, that's been coming up. Her kind of not being a great mutually beneficial partner.
Yeah, she's not a good friend.
So we got to this point.
Fee's a better friend.
Fee right now is certainly a better friend. And she is very important to our story, I think, moving forward.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what her role is going to be. I can't really foresee what it is, but I'm excited to see it play out. Although I'm a little scared for Pabu, because if the Empire's coming, then that beautiful, poor, idyllic city will get crushed. Anytime a planet's the Empire's not coming here.
What if Sid is the one that sells him out
to
the Empire? Because she did prophetically say, I know things about you guys that you don't. She can obviously call their ship, so she may have a honing beacon on where their ship is.
I would be so disappointed in her. But yeah, I mean, it's a cape. I mean, she has proven, like,
she's proven she don't care. Loyalty doesn't colleagues, matter.
We're not friends.
Yeah,
so
loyalty doesn't matter, and you've burned my bridge now. And I warned you what would happen if you burned this bridge.
I have a feeling Fee could die.
Ooh, that would suck.
I have a feeling she could die, like,
that would suck.
Like, helping them.
Oh,
shielding them.
I don't like that, Elise. Don't put that in the out there. I'm shipping tea. it's better than the other way around.
Fip or feck?
Feck. Yeah, exactly. That doesn't work. I'd rather tea.
Tea. Yeah, tea. Star Wars is all about sacrificing. There are great loves and none of them last. Ugh. What's a Star Wars romance that lasts?
None of them. They all burn.
Yeah. From one person's fault or an external force, they burn up.
Wow. When you put it like that, I mean, you've really just given them the death knell there.
Hey, I haven't given anything because
you're saying history is,
because the show is already made. Audience, this is not my fault. The show has already been made.
Don't blame me. Blame Star Wars history.
Yeah, decisions have already been made.
Ooh, well, let's revisit that one by the end of the season. Oh my gosh. Now it's out there in the world. Now we'll see how that one plays out. But yeah, you talked about the island. So I don't think we know what the planet overall is called, but the island itself is at least called Pabu. And what'd you make of it? Is it frankly a too good to be true paradise? Is this?
Well, I think we found what it was too good to be true, because they have earthquakes and tsunamis.
And they didn't want to acknowledge it.
It was very like Grecian to me, like the big cities on the
Pompeii or etc. Like a Roman or Greek story,
or just modern Greece.
Oh well, that's. I guess I was just getting into the disaster of it, too. Okay. Usually those stories take place in, like, Greece or Rome.
I just meant,
like
how the cities are built on hills and you have to go up and down stairs.
Very good point.
On the ocean. It's a fishing community.
Yeah. I like that. There was an old city to it, like upper, which is the more historic side, than the lower one, which
they almost had, like, a Lord of the Rings tree in the middle of, like, this giant courtyard, like in the City of Men.
Minas Tirith. I like that. That's a good pull there. It did have some nice Tolkien references in that aspect of it. And it had the Archeum, which holds treasures from across the galaxy.
It's like a better version of what What's-His-Face does in Rebels, where he collects artifacts of all the people he conquers.
Oh, Thrawn.
Yes. It's an actually like good version of Thrawn's museum.
Yes, instead of killing the people and then taking their cultural items,
they just save it from.
They save what people they can too.
Yeah,
and give them a place to live.
Yeah.
And house their cultural lands. That's a good point. Yeah. That is the antithesis to Thrawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. It's a good pull, Elise. But yeah, it clearly is too good to be true. And this is really where I get to the end of my questions here for this episode, which is the episode was part emotional drama, which we've talked extensively about. Mm-hmm. But then the other part is disaster movie.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, did that aspect work for you? Did you kind of expect perhaps something to go wrong here again? You did say it was a little too good to be true.
Yeah, there's always got to be some like thing of adventure. And I didn't think it was going to be an episode dedicated to romance.
Yes.
Only. I think it makes sense that like a disaster would also encourage the Bad Batch to stay and like help quote, like build and repair and stuff. So I think that makes sense. Yeah, but it was an exciting, like, I thought the animation was great with the big tsunami wave and the ladders coming free. Like, it did have me on the edge of my seat. Wrecker didn't get swept away, thank goodness.
Yeah, no giant fish came out of the sea and tried to eat him.
Yeah, I also thought it was really touching when the mayor of Pabu called Hunter a father.
Yes. Shep Hazzard.
Yeah, Hazzard.
Yes. Hazzard was right there in front of us.
I thought that was really cute. It was also just like like a gorgeous city animation, like giving me Rapunzel vibes as well with the lanterns in the sky. Mm. I don't know. It was just really fun to watch. I enjoyed it. And I know everyone was probably like, I need action. Like, we have had such a buildup, but I think we had enough action the last two episodes. We know where we're going in the last two of the season.
Mm-hmm.
This was about setting the stakes, and the stakes are their family.
Right. Do you think they would have stayed if there wasn't?
Yes.
This disaster? Yeah, you think they do?
Yeah, I think so, because Wrecker gets his food.
Mm-hmm. He's fed.
Omega gets her friend.
Mm-hmm. She's got companionship.
Tech makes an emotional connection that he never thought was possible and wants to explore love. It. He found love. And I think Hunter, like, as a good parent would, like, it desperately wants stability for Omega, and, like, that's a worry off his shoulders. I think they would have stayed, yeah. Mm. Especially with that cut from Sid. I mean, what do they really have out there?
It's true. They would just be going from place to place, and I think
it's also easier to say they would stay now that Echo's gone. I don't think Echo would have been happy there.
Mm. Yeah, because what would he have gained from
His heart is in the fight, so.
His heart's in the fight, and he's still part robot. Like, for the most part, he's, like, so mechanical. Like, what would he have earned from being
I don't know.
There?
I think if anywhere, like, if his heart was truly at peace, a city of refugees is where Echo would fit.
Perhaps.
But I think his heart's just not there.
Yeah. There was an emotional bit for everybody involved there that I don't necessarily know if he would have connected that leap there that you pointed out. Yeah, I think so. They would have stayed too. And my reasoning for doing that is Fee kind of was laying the groundwork before the disaster with
him. Oh, like, yeah.
Stability is pretty good, right? Not a bad place to live.
Also, those like little nuggets we've gotten all season of like, are you really going to have a kid on a ship this whole time? Or like, it's not really enough room. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they've had a lot of like moments where they're like, is Omega really going to grow up like this kind of thing? Yeah. And so I think this put it in sharp reality of like, you could stay still.
All right, Elise, predictions for next week, because you know the Empire is going to be hunting.
The Empire's coming.
I think so too.
I think someone gets taken. I think this is on a cliffhanger of them, because last time.
I think that's right.
They came all together and then Crosshair decided to leave.
Yeah,
I think this ends in a cliffhanger with the Bad Batch broken up. The wild card is Crosshair. I don't know what his journey is with him being on a table in a scientist's lab.
Exactly. Where does he fit into all this?
Yeah.
So going off that point, I think you're correct, because by my understanding, there's only 2 weeks left.
Mm-hmm.
Next week is a single episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week after that, it's a two-parter to conclude the season.
Yeah, I don't know either. Do you think they would conclude it? So if it does get canceled, there is a conclusion. Do you think they are secure in that? I think with Celebration, they don't.
Look, I'm not. With all of the Star Wars media that's available these days, I'm not concerned about a cancellation if that would happen, because they could just tell a story via book.
Boo.
Yeah, not great, but they I'm not as concerned that the story just ends right there, because there are other mediums that they could continue telling stories in this with these characters.
I also say, I think they're making a larger point about cloning, and they're bridging some gaps. Yeah. Where I'm like, if they really, like, I think the next season would be truly talking about the Bad Batch, like seeing some big plot lines through Star Wars.
Yeah. Filoni's involved too. They love him over there. He's one of the chief creatives now. I think they want to make him happy as much as possible, because, you know, other Star Wars projects aren't necessarily moving forward at the rate that his are.
Yeah.
The animators are probably already working on a season 3 at this point, if it's not already done, to be honest. So
I think I'm not as concerned.
We would have learned ahead of time if there was a cancellation. They wouldn't have the panel at Celebration.
Yeah. I think it ends in a cliffhanger. I think our hearts are going to be wrenched.
Which will be horrible and awesome at the same time, because
it's going to take a year.
Because, you know, we'll have to wait, but man, juicy.
Well, it's going to be exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're on the train to the end of season 2.
Yeah. I just want to say, if the Star Cruiser can ever build, if they can ever build a second planet, I would be fine if the Star Cruiser took us to Pabu. I think it's a nice antithesis to Galaxy's Edge.
Absolutely. I think that'd be fun.
A forgotten outpost.
I think that'd be really fun.
I would love to go to a Star Wars Nirvana idyllic-esque location that's beautiful and luxurious and fun.
Yeah,
with
I think
fun monkeys.
I think that would be great. Like, that's a great idea that you bring up, because there's the concept of, because there are multiple Disney parks around the globe, that they could have different quote-unquote Galaxy's Edges in different all the different parks to make it that people go to those areas, right? So for example,
no, put it in Florida so I can get to it easily.
Well, for, yes, but I'm just saying, if you're thinking from the company perspective, if you want people to travel to all these different parks, you'd have different things there. And with the Star Wars IP, for example, if they built a Pabu as a place to travel to, put it in Disneyland Paris or Hong Kong, right? I'm just saying, like, I kind of could be an avenue they could do moving forward in order to make some exclusivity for.
Pabu would also be an interesting storytelling place, because if it's a crossroads of refugees, you could have some interesting people stopping by there.
Yeah, yeah,
but
I agree.
It is a little less like come and go like Galaxy's Edge. So it'd be some interesting storytelling they'd have to weave in.
Oh, I mean, if they move it up to a sequel trilogy timeline, then who's to say? Who knows what happens in 30, 40 years
to
Pabu.
That's true. That's true.
All right. Did you have anything else that you wanted to bring up in regards to this episode?
No, just super excited and just love. I just love for tech, you know?
Yeah, that's me too. I'm happy for him.
Yeah, I'm happy for him.
I just wanted to lastly say that you brought up about the monkeys. They're called Munoz.
Munoz.
Which I thought were cool. They should be at a Galaxy's Edge one day.
I was like, there's a new plush toy.
Yep, they really tugged on my heartstrings with that one. I did like the subplot line of Mr. Inta, the old man that kind of walked past them that Wrecker had to go pick up.
Yeah.
Did it come across to you that maybe he had some, like, maybe some dementia or just some mental?
He was older.
He seemed like he was out of, like, he felt like he didn't remember or didn't notice things or something like that.
I also got the vibe of like, oh, that the crazy old man in the neighborhood that everyone loves. I mean, he just kind of
I liked him
trope.
A lot. He warmed my heart a little bit.
Yeah, he was cute.
Very kind. The mayor too was very kind to him. I liked all the people in this town, which again probably led it to being like, all right, it's too good to be true, guys. The Empire or something's gonna happen here. And of course, the final nail in the coffin there was seeing how beautiful the town was at night. And I was like, well, this might not last.
As soon as they said, the Empire's not going to come here, I was like, well, now they're coming.
And he's like, well, what are you going to do? We'll manage. All right, well, how? How, boss? How are you going to do it? What are you going to do? Throw sticks at him? give me some concrete answers here. I you just can't say, oh, we'll deal with it when the time comes. No.
Well, they also hadn't practiced their emergency drills in decades. So
they
what else
not.
Can we expect?
The ladders were rusting. Right, yep. The materials to pull them off.
They had not done their drills in a while.
So,
but everyone lived.
Everyone lived. Yeah. I hope that trend continues, but we'll see.
Probably not for Fee.
Again, with this Fee. Well, we'll have to see what happens in the next couple of episodes here. But thanks again, Elise, for coming on the show and for talking about this episode of The Bad Batch with us. We will certainly have you back on next week as we continue our journey through the end of season 2 of The Bad Batch and for those of you at home, thanks to you as well for listening. We'd love to connect with you on our social media channels. What did you think of this episode? We'd love to connect with you about all of that. Tell us your thoughts about it. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think Fi is going to die too? Do you think the Empire is coming? Is Pabu too good to be true? I don't know, but let's talk about it. Let's have a good time discussing all the cool things that are happening in the Star Wars galaxy these days. And of course, Celebration is just around the corner. So, whew, I'm excited for that. I hope you are all too. And of course, we got some fun announcements coming along the way in regards to Celebration for those of you at home. So just be on the lookout for all that. Be sure to check out our social media handles, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Hive. We're available in all those places. Just search for Force Ghost Conversations and you'll find us in some capacity. Also, if you're a big fan of the podcast and would like to consider pledging some support here and there, we do have a Patreon site available now. So just go to patreon.com/ForceGhostConversations and you'll be able to find our various tiers that we have offered. And for as little as $1 a month, you can get a lot of goodies from Force Ghost Conversations to continue helping support the pod, but also getting some fun stuff on the side for yourself. And lastly, if you're loving the show again, please be sure to check out our Tee Public store and to see if you want to buy any Force Ghost Conversations related merchandise. We've got so many cool things available over there, including our Star Wars inspired logo, Willow, Indiana Jones. Check it all out and be sure to get whatever you would like from that site. They do run sales pretty frequently, so you can rest assured that you'll be getting a good deal. And of course, some of the proceeds go to supporting the show as well. So be sure to check that out, and we thank you again for your support. Until then, folks, we'll be back on Sunday with a brand new episode talking about the latest episode of The Mandalorian, Chapter 20, The Foundling, which is directed by Carl Weathers, of course, Greef Karga himself from the show. So you don't want to miss out on all that. It's going to be an exciting time for Star Wars as we head into the Celebration season. Until then, folks, may the Force be with you. Take care.